All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rock and Roll Garage. It's your Uncle Jimmy here with another version of Grease the Wheels for you. Hey, coming to you a little later this week than usual. Sorry about that. That's my fault. Tried to do the podcast Monday night, fell asleep. Tried to do it Tuesday night. Guess what? Fell asleep. And so if you hear a dull thud in the middle of this podcast, you know that Uncle Jimmy fell asleep again. Yeah, he's an old fucker. A fucking bastard. He never goes to bed when he should, and then he gets up and he's tired and grumpy and in a shit mood all fucking day, too, by the way, just so you know, especially with the fucking crap that's going on where I'm at. It's not a subject for today. Before I get started, what I would like to say is thank you. Thank you very much for what you do. I know nobody's out there thanking you. I know that the appreciation is the appreciation comes from the people who should be giving it to you, very few and far between. They're like, well, you should be lucky you have a job. You should be glad that I pay you at all. You should be glad that I don't split your skull open with a fucking 3/8 torque wrench right across your fucking noodle. Can you tell I'm angry?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, no, seriously, thank you for what you do. It's very important, more important than what you're led to believe. And it's definitely, I think a lot of people that should appreciate it don't. But there's one guy out there, it's your Uncle Jimmy. I definitely appreciate what you do. I know what you do. I know what you're going through. I know how it works. I know how it doesn't work sometimes. And I know who's benefiting from it and shouldn't, or at least they shouldn't benefit from it as much as they are. So thank you very much for what you do. Hope the New Year's is starting out good for you. Mine? Yeah. I don't know. We got a little ways to go before I can really call it. Hey, this week's podcast, what I want to call it is A Day in the Life. Sticking with my Beatles theme, A Day in the Life. What I did was, because this is one of the reasons I fell asleep, folks. I got to tell you, honestly, on Monday and Tuesday is, well, number one, I was fucking tired, of course. But I was struggling to find a subject for the podcast, and I never really did come up with anything. But, you know, I mean, I like to power through. I like to come through for you. I know that you need your weekly dose of your Uncle Jimmy building you up. So what I came up with is sort of not a script so much as just a rundown of some of the things that happen to you every day where you work that probably happens to everybody else where they work. And if it doesn't, well, you need to thank your lucky fucking stars, okay? Honestly, I think a lot of us struggle with a lot of different things every day, not the least of which, of course, is the fact that we're not paid very well. We're not paid enough. And we're overworked at times. And, you know, we're just not appreciated, really. That's really the main reason that I come out here and I hit you guys with the thank yous every week is because I know you're not getting them. I know you're not getting them. And I feel like it's important, really, honestly, to come through for you and just let you know that there are some people out there who appreciate what you do. They may not appreciate some exact thing that you do, but I do appreciate all of you people out there who've got tools of any kind and really are out there solving problems. And that's really what we do. We solve problems. And even with maintenance, I mean, if you're just doing maintenance, you're not really solving a specific problem, but you're holding a problem off. If you do the maintenance, you're obviously going to have less problems than you would if you didn't do them. So you really are solving a problem by not inviting it into the front door or not inviting it into the oil cap or into the gas tank. Or you're not inviting it into the car or into whatever piece of machinery it is you're working on. You're holding off damage. You're holding off wear by performing the maintenance. So thank you again for what you do. I do mean it. I do mean it. Okay. Day in the life. Now what I wanted to do is kind of give you a rundown of some stuff I found on the internet. Cause I got to kind of lean on the internet. I lean on the internet a lot, by the way, just so you know, and not the way you think, not anymore anyway. So, let's get back on track. You filthy bastard. Some of the stuff I know that you bastards are thinking right now. Well, it's not happening, okay? Day in the life, I'm talking about at work, thank you. I don't know if any of you are actually getting any at work, so I don't even want to go there with that, okay? But what I did find was a little article. I'm going to just kind of broad stroke it here for you because Eric seems to like that better, and I think maybe it works better when I don't really dig into them too fucking deeply, which I was doing for a while, you know? But hey, you know, really, seriously, I mean, it's pretty much my podcast and it's my opinion and I'll fucking do what I want, goddammit. If you don't like it, just turn it the fuck off, all right? What's this one called here? This is the first one that I came up with. It's called 10 Things That Mechanics hate. And let me tell you something. This is a short, small list of things that mechanics hate. And some of it, I don't really feel like applies to us as mechanics, at least not in all cases, and at least not in very many cases, honestly. This is all stuff that happens mostly to service advisors, really. I was skimming through it, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, fuck them, really. I mean, I don't care what happens to them. I mean, they don't seem to care what happens to me. Don't be picking on the service advisors, Uncle Jimmy. What the fuck? Here, let me just go down through this list here. It's a little shorty 10-point list. Thank you very much for being just 10 points and not 12 or 13 or some shit like that. Hey, the number one thing that mechanics hate is arguing on pricing. You know what? I'm going to just change that, okay? Because we don't really typically, I know in some shops, and some of you mobile mechanics and maybe some of you guys who are, out there on the road doing repairs for friends or doing repairs for relatives or just basically, you know, working outside the fucking auto zone. I see a lot of those motherfuckers. Like, it's got to be profitable because there's so many of them there, you know. But if you have to deal with a customer as a mechanic, then obviously you're more of an entrepreneur than somebody like me or some of my associates who work for someone else who collects the money. And fortunately for us, they're also the ones that have to deal with the customers arguing on price, okay? Arguing on a price would make me mad if I was personally dealing with a customer. But I typically offer, like if I'm working on something for somebody, if I charge them at all, it's kind of it's a rare. I don't, you know, if I work on somebody's car, usually they're going to be a friend of mine, somebody I know. And I feel obligated really to just use my talent to help them out. And I'm not really looking to get paid. I mean, you know, if they want to pick up a pizza and maybe a six pack and pop over and, you know, have it while I'm working on their car, that would be all right. In fact, that's a really good situation. You know, honestly, your Uncle Jimmy will work for food. All you got to do is take a good look at him. You can see that that's fucking true. But, arguing on price, it's not something that I have to, I worry about. It's not something that affects me at all. I don't know how much it affects you, but I think if you are dealing with people, and maybe you don't know them very well, or maybe they just got a hold of you and said, hey, can you fix my car? I don't want to go to a dealership or a shop. Really, at that particular point, you know you're in fucking trouble as far as the fucking do-re-mi goes, okay? They're not going to want to come through with a Buku Dolores to pay you for a repair that they could have paid somebody else Buku Dolores to do. So you have to kind of, you have to kind of mitigate your situations there. You have to kind of control who you work for and how much you charge them. And, you know, if you do a job for somebody and you don't know them and they seem kind of sketchy, I would honestly insist that they buy their own parts. Make sure they're right before you even start tearing their shit apart and then get paid. Make sure you get paid before you hand them their keys, okay? Because, I mean, if you give them the keys and they go, oh, my wallet's in my car, and they go out and they start it up and they drive off, what are you going to get? You're going to get nothing. So don't let that happen to you. If they argue on price, tell them to fucking hit the trail, eat shit. You're probably saving them a lot of fucking money from going to a dealer or a repair shop somewhere. So if they argue with price with you personally, just fucking give them the what for. Say, listen, my prices are non-negotiable, bitch. Fucking read them and weep or get the fuck out of Dodge. Get away from me. All right, let's move on to number two here. Arguing on price. I don't know if you guys have to deal with that a lot. I kind of feel bad for you. A lot of people don't have a lot of money, but they want their shit to run. It's like, well, you know, you're going to have to figure out which one you want more. Number two, it says here, touching their stuff. Now, myself personally, okay, and this is just me, I'll let people borrow my tools all the time. And it kind of irritates me a little bit, but not a lot, but it irritates me a little bit when they bring it back and they just set it on my box. It's like, oh, great, I get to put it away now. But I don't expect them to put it back where I had it because I'm really super seriously anal retentive. And I got to have my shit in exactly the fucking spot I want it in. Because if I look in my toolbox, I think a lot of you guys are like this. I think if you look in your toolbox, your eyes are going to go to a spot where a tool was and isn't there now, and you're going to have to either find it, find out who borrowed it, find out if somebody borrowed it, or find out if you left it in a car. I mean, honestly, I'll put my tools away a couple, two, three times a day, usually between jobs, just to make sure I didn't leave something behind. Because the worst thing for me anyway, I don't know how you guys feel about this, is how I feel about it, is if I get done working on a car and I don't put the tools away and I leave a tool in a car at like, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then I get down to 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I put my tools away, and I remember that I forgot to take a tool out of somebody's car. 9 times out of 10, that car is fucking gone. It's gone. Now, I have gone out to the pickup where the customer pickup rows are and gotten tools out of the car. It doesn't happen very often because I'm pretty diligent about hanging on to my shit, really. But and the other thing too is our advisors don't seem to call the customers when their cars are done very often. There's always a shit house of cars out there that are finished and waiting to go back to the people who own them. And yeah, they don't seem to be in a hurry to come and get them. So if you leave a tool behind, sometimes you're in luck, even if you just remember or you think about it a day or two later even. So, but having other people touch your stuff and fuck with it, I think that would be a good way to lose a couple of fingers and maybe even getting a black eye or a fucking broken jaw. I don't know about you guys, okay? And I think a lot of you have an extraordinary amount of money tied up in tools. This is something that no employer ever talks about with you. It's not something that they ever say to you. It's not something that they assume about you. They do assume that about you, but they're not going to say anything to you about it. If you want to work as a mechanic, a technician, whatever you want to call it, okay, you have to have fucking tools. And I have never had an employer say to me, well, do you have tools? You know, asking a question that really begs an answer, really you need to say, well, yeah, I have tools. I've spent multiple thousands of dollars on tools and a toolbox to keep them fucking in. And okay. And then that's it. They don't think about it. And they also don't give a fuck about it. And you know what? If something on the building fails, or if, you know, their office chair is in need of a tightening of a bolt or two, they might come over and want to get a wrench from you. And I think, you know, if you got somebody who wants to borrow a wrench to fix their chair because they sit in it all day long and they make more money than you, then you should tell them to go fuck themselves, okay? Buy your own fucking wrenches, you fucking cheap, lazy cocksucker. All right. Sorry, it's going to, you know, the anger is going to overflow tonight in different spots. I'm sure that some of you are familiar with it. And if you're not, you will be by the time this one's fucking over. Okay. Touching their stuff. Don't touch my shit. Okay. Unless I like you. Okay. And I, quite frankly, like a lot of the technicians I work with and for. So if they touch my stuff, I'm fine with it. But if, customer or even maybe one of the multitudes of subcontractors that we have in our place come in and they are milling around my box and fucking with my shit, it's a good way for them to find out how it feels to have a finger chopped off or to have an arm broken or to have a black eye. It's just don't do it. Just don't do it. And you know what? If you're thinking about touching somebody else's shit and you don't know them very well, you might want to fucking say something. You might want to say something beforehand. Say, hey, can I borrow that screwdriver right there? And say, no, don't touch it unless you want it sticking out of your eye socket. Don't touch your stuff, okay? Number three is another one for service advisors that really doesn't apply to us unless, of course, here again, you're working on a friend's car or a relative's car or somebody that you just met and you're doing somebody a favor. Number three is calling 1,000 times. Yeah, that gets annoying. And sometimes what will happen is, this happened to me today, actually. One of the service advisors came back and said, oh, I need an ETA on this. And I said, I don't know what ETA means. And they hate it when I fucking sandbag the shit out of them because I don't know when I'm going to be done with something. If they come out to me and they want an ETA on when something's going to be done, it's like, you know what? It'll be done when it's done. The other thing too is I don't really like to do that because as soon as I tell someone, oh, I'll be done in 10 minutes or I'll be done in half an hour or I'll have it ready by the end of the day, then something major, something else goes wrong that I have to fucking deal with that I don't either want to or can't deal with. Because there's times when, you know, you're cruising right along, maybe you're getting something done and you got like a hose or something fucking stupid that you just need to put back on, or you need to tighten up a clamp somewhere, and all of a sudden something goes wrong. Your clamp doesn't work and it fucks up the hose, or you poke a hole in something breaks, something doesn't sit in there right, O-ring splits. I mean, there's a million fucking things that can go wrong. So don't ask me for an ETA. Don't ask me for an ETA, because it's a Murphy's Law thing to me, really, honestly. It's like if I, you know, and then people always say, oh, you know, knock on wood, right? God damn it. It's like, look, if I tell you something's going to be done at the end of the day, it'll probably be done at the end of the day. But you know what? You have to keep it in the back of your mind. You know what? Sometimes shit goes awry. And lately, it seems like everything has been going awry. In fact, it's one of the battle cries of the crew at my shop now. What's wrong? Everything! And yeah, there's a big long list of everything. And we're trying. Some people are trying to get it straightened out, and some people don't give a fuck. And well, that's, you know. But if they call you 1,000 fucking times, why don't you know when their car is going to be done? Just tell them. Say it's another 5 minutes from when you called 5 minutes ago. And if I have to go out and ask him again how long it's going to take, it's going to take longer, because he's going to have to stop and talk to me about how long it's going to take. Do you understand how this works? So fucking put the phone down, call somebody else, make a sandwich, you know, get a cup of coffee, watch some fucking TV, and don't fucking call me in 10 minutes. I'll call you. Like I said, it's a service advisor thing, okay? Nobody's going to call me 1,000 times, because there's 1,000 times I'm not going to answer the fucking phone. I'm not a slave to a small 3x5 device that fits in my pocket. I mean, it's great for certain things, but the things that other people are using them for, yeah, I got no use for that. All right, number four is, and this one does affect us, this is one of the ones that affects us, customers working on their own cars. Now, this isn't happening that much anymore, but every once in a while it does still happen. And every once in a while you'll get something in where a customer or somebody a customer knows who isn't a mechanic fucked their car right up. I mean, just fucked it right over. And you know what? I got to tell you, myself and the crew I work with, we're merciless. We're savages. If you worked on your car and you fucked something up, oh my God, you better take out a second motherfucking mortgage, because we are going to fucking make it hurt. Because what that says to me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but what it says to me is that when customers work on their own cars and then they fuck them up, it says to me that A, I'm a cheap cocksucker and I don't want to have to pay somebody else to do something I think I could do. And the other thing is that they think that they can be a mechanic, and they're finding out at the end of a tow truck or on a flatbed that guess what? You can't be a mechanic any more than you can do open heart surgery on yourself, dumbass. So don't fucking do it. Okay. If you don't have, I mean, seriously, if you, you know, I have seen so much, I know that a lot of you have seen this too. And I'm conjuring up images in my mind of all of the stupid, fucked up shit I have seen people do to their cars. Some of it on purpose, some of it in an attempt to repair it, some of it in an attempt to make it go faster. It's just so much. I was talking last week about the Facebook page just rolled in, and some of that stuff just murders the fuck out of me, because these people who roll into these shops and they're showing brake rotors that are completely sliced through, and they're showing wheel bearings that when they lift the car up, the wheel falls off, and bent up and twisted, you know, exhaust and drive shafts, and oh, just a myriad of shit. And a lot of times some of this stuff is damaged and broken and effed up majorly because the customer worked on the fucking car. I mean, I've seen where somebody's booger welded stuff into a car. It could be anything, literally anything that could be welded. I've seen it booger welded in. I went to school and learned how to do welding. I haven't done it in a long time, so I can't sit here and say to you I'm a really great welder, but some of the stuff I've seen just makes me want to puke blood. It's crazy how bad it is. And I'm not sure what motivates some of these people to either have somebody do that to their shit, or for them to do that to their shit, and then stand back and possibly admire their work when it's just God fucking awful. Oh my God. We've all seen it. And I want to just say, hey, kudos to you people out there for taking some of the shit that these people do to their shit and fucking undoing it, unfucking their car. Customers working on their own cars, they really, honestly, I don't think they deserve any sympathy, because what they're saying is, oh, your job's not that hard, I can do it. Yeah, well, you've demonstrated quite plainly that you fucking cannot, that you cannot do it, okay, and that you should fucking take your tools and go back to wherever the fuck you bought them and return them and go buy some gardening tools or something. Figure out another fucking hobby, because this one isn't working out for you at all. Customers working on their own cars, yeah, fucking hammer them. Hit them fucking hard. Make them pay. Number five is one of the things, and here's the thing about number five, I'm going to get into it. There are a lot, this number five is waltzing around the shop. Now, we don't have this problem in our shop with customers, but there's a whole bunch of other motherfuckers that are waltzing around our shop. And a lot of times, none of us have any idea who they are. We have a couple of different, in our shop, we have a fairly large shop, and we have a couple of different subcontractors that work for us, one of which does the detail and the car wash stuff. So we're familiar with them. And then there's also there's paintless dent repair and, you know, touch up people who work on the used cars. And we're somewhat familiar with them, although they seem to switch people around on a fairly regular basis. So it's not uncommon to see somebody brand new heading into our break room and partaking of our coffee machine. I don't have too much of a problem with it if I see somebody 2-3 times, but every once in a while, people just kind of wander through the shop. They don't appear to have any kind of job. They're not looking for anything specific. They're just looking around. It's Grand Central Station sometimes, and it kind of drives me nuts, because like you guys, I have a few thousand dollars worth of fucking tools hanging around. I certainly don't want somebody to admire one of them and then decide they would like them and walk off with it. I mean, it could easily happen. It can easily happen. And nobody really seems to give a shit that something like that could easily happen. And what's weird is that, you know, we have a key card set up where I have to scan a key card to get in the building. Well, how are all these other motherfuckers getting in if they don't have a key card? Well, I think what they do is they wait for somebody to open the door and then they just slide right in too, which is definitely wrong. It definitely defeats the purpose of having a scan card to get in. What the fuck? So, you know, but we don't have any kind of a employee or management or anything like that who's going to do anything about that. There's nobody. That's a problem that nobody gives a fuck about except your Uncle Jimmy and maybe one other dude. And he probably doesn't. He's probably to the point now where he don't give a fuck either. Just don't like having a whole lot of people in the shop. And yet every day it's like fucking Woodstock in there. I swear to God, 500,000 fucking people. Let's move on here. Cause you know, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. Is that a stupid one? It bugs me. I don't know. Does it bug you? Let me know. You know, I mean, if there's a lot of fucking people coming into your shop, every shop I've ever worked in has really had something like that going on. I think that people, and just to kind of cross over to the other side of the fence here, I think a lot of people want to see what's going on. They want to see the mechanic at work. They want to be part of something. You know, if you're working on their car, they would like to be a part of it. They'd like to maybe help. Who even knows? But it's none of that is any good at all. So if you're getting your car worked on and you're in the waiting lounge and you feel the urge to go out in the shop, fucking don't. Okay, just don't do it. Number six, saying it's something else. Now, this happens more often than not to us by the service advisors, at least where I work. Now, I don't know how cozy you get with a customer. Some of you may even be your own service advisors in some shops. I've heard of that. You know, obviously, you know, you might have a bell on the door and you're in the back, you know, doing an oil change or something. And you know that, you know, there's nobody else around, you know, the whoever's up front said, hey, I'm going to run to lunch and grab a sandwich real quick. I'll be back in 20. And he's gone for 2 minutes. And you hear the door, the bell for the front door open up. You go up front, hey, can I help you out? And then it's on, you know. I mean, really, the horse shit starts to spew. And a lot of times, I want to say probably 50% of the time, when people bring you a car, and I don't know why they do this, okay, because I talked about it before. I think that 95% of the car driving public out there doesn't have a single solitary clue what the fuck goes on in a car at all. They don't know how to put air in a fucking tire. They don't know how to check the oil. They don't even, in some cases, know how to open the fucking hood. But that does not stop them when they have a problem from coming in and trying to tell you what it is. And that's what number six is, saying it's something else. You know, I mean, maybe they've got a coolant leak and they think the radiator's leaking. And you go, nah, it's the radiator's good. It's the water pump that's leaking. And then they go, no, I think it's the radiator. And you're like, dude, who's the fucking pro here? Is it you or is it me? You know, it's like, do you go to the dentist and tell him to drill on a tooth that doesn't have a cavity in it when the one that's in the upper jaw, you know, three teeth away is the one with a cavity in it? Do you do that? Does anybody do that? Does somebody go to the doctor and he says, hey, you know, you got, you know, whatever you might have. Oh, you have an appendicitis. No, I don't think so. I think it's pancreatic cancer. It's like, well, okay. Where'd you go to medical school? I didn't. I just know my own body. Yeah. You know what? Professional opinion would say, no, you don't know shit. Okay. Cause your pancreas is on one side. Your appendix is on the side where you're having fucking pain, asshole. Saying it's something else. That's not cool. If you're a technician or a mechanic, and you're dealing right with the customer specifically, and they start to try to tell you that it's something besides what you either know it is or even what you think it is, you can just go, yeah, okay, whatever. And I'll tell you, you know, I've regaled you folks with this stories before, is I've bought cars from people. I've owned a lot of cars. I think I'm close to 100 now. Put that in your pipe and fucking smoke it, you know. I've had about almost 100 cars, and there's quite a few of them I bought where the owner of that vehicle has tried to tell me what's wrong with it, and they were completely fucking wrong. This has happened many times. I had bought a 1970 Olds Cutlass. The owner of it insisted that the transmission was seized. I was only like 18 or 19 at the time. I was still, even though I was a real newbie, I was pretty sure that an automatic transmission really, it's tough to seize those up. You know, they're mostly a fluid drive. I mean, I suppose you could seize them up, but just haven't ever really seen it. And so I got it home. Gave him $50 for the car to just point out what a different time it used to be. A car now, I could probably get fucking $7,000 for it. In the shape it was in, it wasn't that bad at all. I got it home and I noticed when my friend was dropping it off with the tow truck that one of the wheels looked crooked. And what had happened was he had bolted a non-disc brake wheel. This is a real thing, boys and girls. This used to happen all the time. He bolted a non-disc brake wheel onto a hub that had disc brakes on it. And so when he tightened the bolts up, he tightened the wheel right against the caliper and it wasn't going to spin. And so when he went to drive off, it just said, yeah, we're not going anywhere, pal. And so, you know, I got that car for $50 and it was a great car. Also, I think I just one other real quick tale. I had these were some guys at a parts store and they were going to sell me one of their parts trucks that was parked out back that they said had a seized transmission. I don't know. That must be like the fucking problem du jour for people who don't know their asshole from a hole in the ground. But he says, oh, it's got a seized transmission. And I went out back and loosened up the parking brakes. And there you were. I drove it away. You know, well, there's your seized tranny. It was just a stuck parking brake. And I got the car. I got the truck. It was a little S10 pickup. I got it dirt cheap. Paid $500 for it. Had 100,000 miles on it. When I got done, I sold it for $500 and had about 220,000 miles on it. So for $500, I got 100,000 miles out of it. It was a pretty good deal, I thought. So, you know, when people tell me what's fucking wrong, I'm just fucking shake my head. Sure fucking thing, asshole. Sure fucking thing. I don't know if you're working on somebody's car and they try to tell you what's wrong with it. I think maybe really you just got to cast them that look. You all have that look. I have that look. And sometimes people even say, what's that look for? It look is, if that look could speak, it would say, what the fuck do you know? All right, number seven. And this is, here again, this is another one really mostly for service advisors or somebody who writes the ROs. Number seven is coming in at 4:59 p.m. Well, you know what? Not a problem for me. I'm going to be there till 6:37. Tonight I was at work until 8. I was surprised I got home without falling asleep behind the wheel. I've been really fucking tired lately, man. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe I'd have go to bed a little earlier, dick brain. Huh? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Phil. Number 7 coming in at 4:59. If you've got a problem, okay, you say you got a flat fucking tire. You got a tire light or something, or maybe, you know, maybe you got something really, really pressing. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be able to make an appointment for 4:59 in the afternoon. It's just not going to happen. But if you roll in and you got an emergency, yeah, we could probably help you out, okay? But you should make this an exception rather than the rule, because if you roll in at 4:59 once and then you do it again, we may just tell you to go fuck yourself, okay? Seriously, just get the fuck out of here, okay? Obviously, don't have any respect for people's time and the fact that they want to be done fucking with cars at a certain point, which is usually 1 fucking minute later than 4:59. So, you know, if you're doing that, if you're a customer, if you're somebody who does that to other people, I'm just going to give you the grease the wheels mantra. Stop fucking doing that. All right. All right. Don't, you know, if you go somewhere and it's real close to closing time, you should be very apologetic. Say, listen, I'm sorry. I know you're going to close up, and I apologize for jamming you up at the end of the day. And usually, and I mean, at least in my case, when I used to work in retail and stuff, and I used to have people that would, you know, fucking race to the door to get the door open before somebody could lock it at the end of the evening when you're supposed to close, you know, and then they come in and they want to mill around for a half an hour. That's when I usually get the broom out and I go, oh, I got to sweep the floor. And basically what I'm doing is fucking running the broom up against your fucking feet while you're fucking standing there looking at shit at fucking 9:15 when we closed at 9 o'clock. Don't fucking do it. Stop fucking doing that. All right, number eight here, explain how your old mechanic was so great. Well, I don't mind hearing about how other mechanics were good or great or could do this or could do that, okay? But you know what? They're not fucking here, and I am, okay? So if you're fucking breaking my chops trying to tell me how great some other mechanic was, I'm going to bust your chops by fucking gouging you out. I really am. You know, if it takes 3 hours to do a water pump, but your old mechanic could do it for 2 hours, and I'm going to say, well, what happened to him? Oh, you know, whatever. I mean, he's dead, quit, you know, he got a different job, maybe he got a sex change. Who knows what the fuck happened to him? And he's not fixing your shit. I am. And you've just pissed me off, which is a fucking tippy top of the list of things you should not do to your Uncle Jimmy. Because guess what? That job's going to pay fucking double now. And maybe if I'm trying to do you a favor, or I'm in the process of attempting to do you a favor, and you start getting all up in my grill with how great your old mechanic was, I will fucking round off on you and say, well, why don't you fucking take it to him and then fucking stop working on your shit and escort you off the property, bitch. Okay? I don't need that fucking crap. I don't need that crap. That's basically what they're trying to say here is, hey, these are things that mechanics hate. Yeah, some of them, we really, really, really actually do fucking hate them a great fucking deal. And you know what, though? As far as mechanics go, and where I'm at now, there's a really, really super seriously passive-aggressive kind of thing. Nobody will tell you what they're going to do. They're just going to do it, and if you don't like it, they're just going to be like, oh, well, fuck them. You know, it's like the passive-aggressive capital of the fucking world, I swear to God. But you go some other places, and they'll fucking give you what for. They won't back off from it. They won't say, oh, it's okay, and when they deep down inside, they're like, yo, guess what? It's not okay. Explaining how somebody else was better than you are, that's a good way to get your car pushed into the middle of the street and get towed away by somebody else. Number 9, telling them what to do. Yeah, nobody likes that. Nobody likes to be told what to do. As a matter of fact, I think over the course of the last 10 years or so, it seems to be a real current thing to me anyway, just because I've got some age to me. Didn't used to be like this. If somebody told you what to do, you would think about it, you know, and maybe take into account the tone of their voice or what they're talking about or what they're telling you should do, or whether they're using that kind of terminology. Well, here's what you should do, or here's what I want you to do. And there's different ways to tell them what to do. You know, maybe you mean it in a good way, or maybe you don't. But lately, I feel like within about the last 10, almost 15 years or so, when you tell somebody that they need something, or that they should have something, or that they should do something, they're going to go, yeah, well, fuck you. They're not going to do it. They are absolutely not going to do it. You tell somebody what to do, they're going to chafe at that, and they're not going to want to do it. And if they do it, they're going to do it balling up their fists and like, oh, that fucking asshole told me to do this and I'm doing it, you know? That's why I've been telling people on the podcast and in my own place of business, the place where I work, that when you recommend something to somebody, be it, you know, tires, brakes, an alignment, coolant flush, oil change, whatever you recommend, if you tell them in the most sincere voice that you have that they need to do it soon, but they don't need to do it right now, they're going to want to fucking do it every time, because you're not telling them they have to do it. You're saying, maybe someday you should do it. Suddenly it becomes their idea and they want to do it. It's ridiculous. And it has been working. It is unbelievable how well it works. And I've even got somebody working next to me now, and we were talking about it, and they've been doing it, and it's working for them too. So it's not just a flash in the pan. It's not something that it works every once in a while. It seems to work a real lot. When you tell them that they have to have a tire, or they have to have brakes replaced, or they have to have this, they have to have that, you tell them that you need this right now, they're going to fight you tooth and nail. It's something that's been going on for, like I said, about 10, 15 years now. People don't want to be told what to do. I certainly don't. But if you tell me something, because I'd like to think I'm reasonable. I think a lot of people just fucking started laughing right there. I like to think I'm reasonable. At times I can be. At other times I'm extraordinarily unreasonable. Don't worry about your Uncle Jimmy. He knows how to be unreasonable. Fuck. Right? But sometimes, most of the time I would say, if somebody said to me, hey, you should do this, I'll consider it. There's no reason why I wouldn't. You know, if somebody tells me you have to do this, I'm kind of a prick. I'm going to be like, why do I have to do that? You know, I might question them. And if it's going to work out for me, if it's something that's going to be good for me or something that I definitely should do, you know, then I will. I will. I'm not going to just go through life blindly telling people that tell me what to do to go fuck themselves. If I feel like I need to, I will, of course. Don't you worry about that at all. But if they tell me to do something that's actually beneficial for me, I'll look into it. And if it is, then I'll do it. And then you know what I do, okay, because I, believe it or fucking not, I have pretty good manners. So if you tell me, oh, you should go do this, and I'll be like, why should I do that? They'll be like, oh, this is what's going to happen. I'll be like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then I go do it, and it is cool, and it works out. I'll come back and say, hey, you know what? Thanks for turning me on to that thing. That worked out really, really well. I appreciate you looking out for me on that, you know? And because, you know, that's the one thing that is really, really missing these days is manners and, you know, being legitimately thankful for somebody's input. You know, I bust the chops of all the techs I work with. At any given time, I'll ask them anything. You know, hey, did you ever do this job before? And I'll be like, oh yeah, I've done that a couple of times. What'd you do here? Is, you know, and whatever input they've got, man, it goes into my head and I catalog it. It's like, look, this guy did it this way. He seemed to think that was the best way to do it. And that's not them telling me what to do, although they certainly can if they want. I mean, I'm receptive to input. You might not want to tell me what to do, but if you got some input, I'm certainly good with that. You should certainly be good with that. There's a lot of smart people out there doing what we do. I wanted to kind of do that as part of this podcast. You know, it didn't really fit into the genre that I'm looking at here right now. It's a day in the life of, and these are things that could happen in your daily routine. Could happen really easily. These things, you could probably get all 10 of them in one day if you're really unlucky. Okay, being told what to do when that person doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about, then yeah, that's extraordinarily annoying. And you know, as far as your Uncle Jimmy's concerned, he can usually shut those people down. You know, I mean, because honestly, you know this from listening. Never really at a loss for words. I've been at a loss for words about three times in my life. And that's when something that is extraordinarily stunning has happened. And I'm just like, huh? You know, it happens. There's times where I should shut up and I don't. And there's times when I should speak up and I don't. I guess I have a little passive aggressive streak myself. But I typically power through those moments. Okay. Don't tell people what to do if you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Let's just say that. All right. And move on to number 10 here. Number 10, getting mad over a delay. Well, if your customers get upset with you because something goes wrong, then they probably haven't either owned a car or had somebody else work on it very often. Because I can remember early on some of the cars I had and some of the cars I've worked on when I was an amateur and even when I was a pro, shit went sideways. It happens all the fucking time. It happens all the fucking time. In fact, if, as far as your Uncle Jimmy's concerned, it happens too often for me. It might be a signal that it's time to fucking hang up the wrenches. But things happen. And nobody is ever really prepared for that except us. I mean, I could look at a car and I could say, well, the water pump's leaking. I got one right now, actually, a perfect example. This guy has brought me an absolute fucking slob of a car. I mean, it is a raging... out. See, I can't even verbalize how bad it is because it's that fucking bad. I mean, it's just god awful. It is all fucked up. There's so many different systems on it that are fucked. And he wants one thing looked at. The guy wants one thing looked at. And we've looked at it before and we've given him a grocery list of things he needs to do to the car. And he just comes, oh, I just do this. And it's a perfect situation to get married to a car. And when you have something like that, and what he needs is he has his battery was, I've never seen, honest to God, folks, this car killed the battery. I've never seen a battery this low. I measured it with my meter and I turned it down so I could, this battery had like 0.007 milliamps of juice in it. The battery. I mean, rocks have more energy in them than this battery did. I found out, because I stuck another battery I had laying around the shop in it, got the car running, lots and lots of warning lights. It looked like Christmas in there. And a lot of stuff didn't work. A lot of stuff was bent, broken, fucked up, jerked off, fucking discolored, disfigured, rubbed wrong. I made the statement to somebody who was looking at it with me that it should probably go to a pick and pull. But then it occurred to me it's too fucked up even for that. It's too fucked up even for that. The fact that it runs is amazing. And then I get it running and it needs an alternator. The alternator is not making any juice. So I say, well, you know, I said, part of your problem is A, battery dead. B, you need an alternator. C, you need really everything else around it. You know, you need everything else as well, you know. Tune up, oil change, you need the gaskets fixed here, there, and everywhere. All the suspension components are loose and sloppy. The tires are all fucked up. The shocks, I'm sure, are shot. The struts are shot. The inside really, it looks like a roll-off dumpster inside, you know. So I don't really have to describe it any more than that to you. And if this guy wants it fixed, he's gonna be upset with how long it takes to get parts for it, because it's an older car. We're not going to have in stock. And then when he gets it back, he's going to be even more upset when all this stuff that he maybe thinks is going to get fixed along with that doesn't. That's another thing that they do. They get mad over what you fixed when, you know, they're like, oh, you charged me all this money to fix the alternator. You could fix that too. Nope, that's not how it works. You don't go to the grocery store and put five items on the fucking on the conveyor and have them charge you for only four. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way here either, okay? You want to get mad at me because it's going to take a while to get your car fixed for whatever reason? Sorry. There is a fucking... Here it comes, boys and girls. Here it comes. The Grease the Wheels national global mantra. There is an enormous fucking shortage of technicians. People are going to have to wait. I think I was talking to a friend of mine in a shop he's at. They're writing customer appointments for 2 fucking months from now. 2 months. So you tell me what the problem is. I'll tell you what the problem is. There's not enough mechanics in the world, and there's not enough money to make other people who could be mechanics into mechanics. Yeah, getting mad over delay, I got to tell you, honestly, if you get mad over delay, you're going to spend a lot of time being mad if you own an automobile, because in the future, it is going to get worse. It is going to get worse. What is happening is that people are out there, and like I've said before, the place I work at has thrown up the white flag and surrendered. There's really very few people out there that have any kind of skill or experience or technical training to be working in our facility. That hasn't slowed them down one fucking bit. They have been hiring like crazy. It's like they went to Costco and ordered up a pallet of technicians, and it came in. And they're all showing up now. We have so many new people, right? And I, you know, and I gotta tell you, I'm real schizophrenic about it because I don't enjoy it because they take up a lot of space I could use to do other things, you know, that I could use to earn money for myself. But no, I've got to work around all these other people. So are they going to be worthwhile? Are they going to be technicians for a long time? Are they going to learn and be good at it? And you know, the odds are 50-50, which is not that bad, really. But, you know, and you hire a dozen. Okay, so you maybe get six out of the lot. You hire a dozen more, you might get six out of the lot. I don't know. It just feels like you're rolling dice. It's a crapshoot is really what it is. It's a crapshoot. So, and some of these technicians that they have hired, and they become technicians the day you hire them. Did you know that? Oh, isn't that weird? They become technicians and they can't get the job done. And some of them can't get the job done right. And so you have to be prepared for that. And you may suffer extensive delays if something bad happens to your car. So there's something. So there's that, you know, and you're going to run into that everywhere. I don't give a fuck where you are on this planet. You're going to run into that everywhere because being a mechanic is really kind of a shit job. It's a shit job. You have people who own shops and they want to take all of the money that gets paid to them for repairs and keep it. They want to keep all of it. They're like Jimmy the Gent from Goodfellas. They stole all this money, all these guys, and they killed all the guys because then they wouldn't have to share the money with them. That's basically what's happening to you guys. You're being Goodfellowed to death. You know, they get the money. They want to keep it all. If they have to pay you, it kind of upsets them. Maybe you don't see it upset them. Maybe they don't, you know, you don't think it upsets them. But it really kind of does, especially if you make a lot. And they're going to sit there and scratch their little heads and work their little pencils and their adding machines and try to figure out how to pay somebody less to do the same job you're doing. It happens all the fucking time. It's happening right now to me, okay? Now, that was 10 things that either will or could or should upset a mechanic if he had to deal with them. Some of them were things that probably some of us are not ever going to have to deal with, okay? I think a lot of us don't talk to customers. Probably a really good fucking thing. On that same note, and I wanted to kind of do this too, and this is kind of like another thing, a day in the life of a technician. Here's five things that your mechanic or your technician, and I, you know, the terms to me are interchangeable. It doesn't matter to me what they call me. But when other people use the term mechanic, I think they mean it in a detrimental way, in a demeaning kind of a way. And so it means to me, it's what it says to me is that they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about because of all of the things that we have to know and all the systems that we have to repair. We are really technicians when it comes right down to it. We're technicians. You can call yourself a mechanic and you can let other people call you a mechanic if you want. We're technicians. We have to be technicians. We have to understand so many different things, so many different physical properties from, you know, hydraulics to, temperature and pressure differentials and how electricity works and all that. You have to be a technician, all right? But these are just five things that this article says that your mechanic doesn't want you to know. Now, what you have to understand here is that these are things that are not that difficult to find out, okay? If a customer was going to take maybe, seriously, like 10 fucking seconds to jump on the internet, you can find them out real fucking easy. But what they would rather do is complain about not knowing what these things are because it's just easier to do that. It's just easy to complain about things you have no idea what you're talking about, okay? And this list went backwards, so I guess that's okay, but it's five. It's a little shorty. Number five is, these are things that people believe that mechanics don't want you to know. But you know what? Honestly, number five is something I don't give a fuck if you know this. It doesn't matter. Number five is, there is a labor guide that states the correct labor to charge for each repair. Now, there's a word in that sentence that's not correct, and it's the word correct. It's not correct. There is a labor guide that states the correct labor to charge for each repair. There's no such thing as correct labor. The absolute correct labor is figured out by a bunch of people who don't want to pay for labor, and that's the vehicle manufacturer. Now, you guys know this. We all know. We know this as mechanics. We know this. That if a manufacturer makes an engine and you got to change a water pump in it, okay, say it's an internal combustion engine and it's got to have liquid coolant running through it. It needs a pump to pump that coolant through there. And we call them a water pump. That brand manufacturer, whether it's Toyota or Ford or Audi, they're going to figure out how long it's supposed to take you to change that water pump. And you know what? Because they're going to have to pay for those repairs under warranty for 3, 4, 5 years on that particular model of car, they're going to fucking shoot low. And the other thing is that they're going to fucking find a guy who's really fucking good with tools and see how fast they can get him to do it. And they might even give him 3, 4, even 5 different tries and get it down as low as they possibly fucking can. Now, I think in a lot of cases, those of us out there who are working on cars and we have to work on warranty concerns, we can typically beat the time. But you know how we do it? By cutting fucking corners. Do we torque every bolt? Yeah, fuck no, we don't. Do we put the proper gasket sealer on them? Probably not. We might put a little gasket sealer on there. We're going to try to make sure it doesn't leak, but we're not going to spend 3 hours fucking putting exactly fucking 0.8 millimeters of gasket sealer all the way around the fucking thing. We're just going to goop it up, slam the fucking thing in there, tighten it down, and call it fucking done. Are we going to torque bolts? Fuck no. Are we going to set the adaptions? All these things that the brand manufacturer says you have to do when you replace a part. And guess what? We're not fucking doing them. You're not paying enough. Everybody knows. It doesn't matter who the fuck you work for. And even back in the day, if you worked on Packards or Studebakers or maybe Oldsmobiles even, and now you're working on, fucking Mercedes-Benzes or Nissans, these warranty times are always going to be really fucking low. And those are actually the correct labor to charge for each repair. No, they're not. Because you come rolling into our shop and you need a water pump and your car's out of warranty, you're going to pay 1.6 times the warranty labor rate to get that job done. And some of us will even jack it up a little bit more because we've been getting fucked for years by the factory warranty. And God damn it, we're going to get our money one way or the other. All right. Now, we don't do that too much. So I can only speak for myself. I know some of you sons of bitches out there will fucking jack it up fucking double. And you know what? That's certainly your prerogative. Because the labor guides that people are going to find online, what are they? Motor Manual, Mitchell, All Data. I'm finding lately that All Data sucks balls. And you know how I know it sucks balls, at least for us, is that extended warranty companies are using it because they don't want to have to pay. They're as bad as everybody else in the world. They don't want to pay. And the other thing I'm finding out is that if somebody has a car made by a certain brand, let's say Chevrolet, and they need to have it fixed and they have an extended warranty, that means that somebody else is supposed to pay for that repair, not the owner of the car. So he's going to take it to the best possible place to get a Chevrolet fixed. And typically that's a Chevrolet dealer. And then they have to deal with the extended warranty to get that repair paid for. And for you and I, that sucks dick. We talked about this a couple, 2, 3 weeks ago, because now we have to diagnose the car a second time for some jackass insurance adjuster who's going to come in and say, oh, I need to take a picture of that. I need to prove that, and it's like, what, you don't trust us? I mean, I don't expect anybody to trust me, but you know what? If I diagnose that a water pump is leaking and I need to replace it, I don't want to have to show some fucking clown that it's leaking 2 days later. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to re-diagnose the fucking car for some cocksucker. I don't want to have to do that. And then they're going to go back and then they're going to say, oh, well, the water pump isn't leaking that much, so it doesn't really need to be repaired. And they're going to deny the claim. And then we're going to be stuck looking like assholes when actually it is leaking and I can show you a video of it. And so the customer's either going to have to go around and around and around with this extended warranty company, or they have to pay for it themselves. We're certainly not going to do it for fucking free, that's for sure. That's not going to happen. And when the extended warranty companies use All Data, their labor guides, I don't know, they were printed multiple years ago, because they're always low and too low. And that's because the extended warranty companies don't want to pay. So what is the correct labor for a job? I believe firmly in my heart that if it's out of warranty and the customer has to pay for it, you take the warranty labor rate, which we already know is like cut to the bone in the bare minimum, and you multiply it by 1.5. And that's what your correct labor should be. Saying that a labor guide is going to be the correct labor is not a good thing at all, because they're all going to be different. Okay. Now let's move on, because I could talk about that horse shit all day if I want, but I don't want. It's just irritating. And the only people who really end up getting fucked are you and me. Everybody else makes out. Number four, mechanics guess way more than you think they do. Well, yes, we do. I'll tell you this right now. Every time I read an RO and it says something on the RO, oh, the car does this, I'm going to have a guess in my mind as to what it is. A good technician will take a car, look at the RO, and kind of jumble it around in his mind and try to figure out what the concern is before they even see the vehicle. But a good technician will go out and start it up and try to duplicate the concern. Maybe it doesn't even really matter what it is. I mean, you have to duplicate the concern, right? And that's what I find. I have big problems with that myself. Is a lot of times I can't duplicate the concern. You know, it happens at a specific time, of day, on a specific road, or for fuck's sake, who knows when it happens, if it ever even happened at all in the beginning, or if it'll ever happen again, ever, and it only happened one fucking time. And the service advisor wrote an RO and just said, oh, vehicle has a noise in it. You know, it's like, literally, you know, they're not even going to ask them a question. It's like, well, when does it make the noise? You know, it's like, could you just find that out? You know, that's why I'm, you know, Eric and I are kind of working on a plan to put kiosks in certain locations so that people can record for the technician's viewing what they think is wrong with their car. And it's not that they're trying to tell us what's wrong with their car. It's they're just telling us what the problem is or what the concern is. It's like, look, I hear a noise when I go over 40. It sounds like a whooshing noise. It sounds to me like it's coming from the left front, you know, and then you get the car in and you find it's got a bent control arm, and the whooshing noise is the fact that the tire's got tread on it for 3/4 of the diameter, and then the other quarter of it, it's worn right to the cords, and it obviously is going to make a whooshing noise. And so you can go from there, you know. But I'm not going to guess what that is. Somebody says, oh, I have a whooshing noise in my car. It's just like whoosh, you know. It's like, well, okay, I got to duplicate it. I'm not going to guess where that's coming from. You know, sometimes you can guess, and sometimes even a service advisor can guess what's wrong with your car because he's had 6 of them that day, or 6 of them that week, or maybe even just 6 of them that month. And he says, well, we've seen a rash of these, so that may be what it is. But they're not going to say that. Well, we know what it is. You know, and then you tell them, oh, it's this. And then that's the one time that it isn't what it is. So, but typically, good technicians, good mechanics are not going to guess what's wrong with a car. They will guess what's wrong with a car, but then they'll verify what it really is. And that's the difference between a fucking somebody who mans a parts cannon and somebody who actually does the in-depth proper diagnosis for something. And I'll tell you, I'm probably 75-25. 75% of the time, I want to know exactly what the fucking problem is and what caused it and how to fix it and how to fix it correctly. But there are times when I don't have a real legitimate cause for the concern. I best way to put it is I'll guess, but I always let my customer know that it is a guess. I'm not fucking lying to you about this. I'm not being facetious here at all. If I have some sort of a problem and I can't pinpoint what's wrong with it, and I spend a lot of time trying to figure out what it is and I can't, I'll tell them, say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to replace this, okay, because first off, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't even really matter what system it is. Whatever it is, it may even be a maintenance item, you know. I mean, sometimes you have a misfire and you got a car that's got 130,000 miles on it, has the original plugs and the original coils in it. You say to them, say, well, I don't have a real, I can't pinpoint the exact reason that you have a misfire, and maybe I can. But, you know, you have one bad coil, or maybe you got a spark plug that's cracked or something. But I'm going to recommend all of them. I'm going to recommend all of them because they, you know, the coils, a lot of the coils that we have nowadays, they live in the cylinder head. So they're going to get a lot of heat pumped into them. And basically, folks, they're called coils because they are coils of copper wire. There's 2 of them in there, as a matter of fact, the primary and the secondary. And you know what? If you heat them up a hell of a lot and then you cool them down a hell of a lot, and you do that for 130,000 miles, yeah, they're going to start fucking up. And so you should definitely replace all of them. You got a 4-cylinder, get 4, 6-cylinder, you know, and so on and so forth. You got a 12-cylinder, you're going to need a fucking dozen of them, you know. And that's, but that's not really guessing. I mean, if you've got a cylinder that's bad, maybe you got, you know, let's say cylinder number two is misfiring. So you take the plug out of there and you put it in cylinder one, and then you take the coil and you put it in cylinder three, and then you clear the faults, you start it up, and you fucking put it in gear, and you hold the brake, and you rev it up in your bay, and a check engine light comes back on, and boom, it moved to number one. That means you got bad plugs. But you know what? You're probably going to want to replace all the plugs and probably all the coils too, if they have some age to them. So is that, but is that guessing? No, that's not guessing. That's almost really just basically a tune-up. And cars don't even really have those anymore at all anyway. But if you have a shit house of miles on them, that shit can't hurt it at all. You know, it'll bring it back to 100%. So I don't fear selling stuff like that. So, and then there are times when we guess. And I do it every hour. I get a guess, and then I figure out what it really is. And then there's times where I can't figure out what it really is, and I have a really good idea, but I'll tell them. I say, you know, I'm going to replace this, and if the fault comes back, we're going to have to replace this. You know, I'm not going to tell them that I need to. You know, I'm not going to just leave it open ended. I'll say, look, you know, you got. You know, say you got fuel tank leakage, you got fuel vapor leakage, and you got a check engine light, a P0442 for a, you know, fuel tank evaporative leak, and you've got three components, and you can't at that particular point in time determine which component it is. You almost have to just use your experience. And guess what? Well, you could certainly call that a guess, couldn't you now? But if you have experienced this problem, Jesus Christ, some of us have been doing this for a while, so maybe 100, 150, 200 times, and out of that, 195 times, it's this one fucking part, so you say, well, these are prone to failure. I want to replace it. If you have the problem, if the problem comes back, then we'll have to re-diagnose it, and we'll figure out what it is, but this is more likely what it is. I could certainly spend 6 hours diagnosing it for you if you want to spend, you know, whatever it is your labor rate is for 6 hours, or we can just put this in, okay? It's going to be cheaper, and probably you're going to need it anyway. You know, sometimes people don't like to hear that, but it depends on the service advisor or how you word it. You could certainly say, well, you know, I'm going to make this repair, and if you have this problem again, we're going to have to replace this, okay? But this is a lot cheaper than that. And I hope that this fixes it and that you don't have to come back for that. You know, you got one part's $100 and the other one's $1,000. You're like, well, we'll put the $100 part in there and see if it fixes it. And if it doesn't, well, then we'll hit you up for a G-note later. You let them know. You cover your own ass, right? And that really is what mechanics do, is they, or at least smart ones do, smart mechanics and technicians do, is they cover their ass. If they're going to guess, it's going to be what we like to call an educated guess, hopefully. And if we guess wrong, we'll cover our ass by saying, we want this to fix the problem, but if not, we may need to replace X, Y, or Z as well. That's what mechanics really do, is they cover their own ass. You can certainly guess. If you're experienced, you have, you know, experience with certain systems, you can certainly make a very educated guess. But do we guess all the time? No, not doing it all the time. We have enough diagnostic equipment. We can certainly figure out what the fuck is going on, okay? Number three, certifications don't mean what the industry has led you to believe. Gotta say that is 100% fucking true. And I think you know where I'm going with this one, because I rant about this one on many occasions. They're talking here, they even mention it in this particular blurb here for this particular point. ASCs. Now, we did an experiment because our manufacturer is insisting, they're requiring us all to get ASC testing. I see a big problem with it. And the big problem is that a lot of the technicians I know and a lot of the technicians I talk to are not very good test takers. Excellent mechanics, shitty test takers. Does that mean that they're stupid? No, it absolutely does not. It means they're kinematic learners. They learn with their fucking hands. They learn by seeing. They learn by doing. They learn by touch and feel. Can they put it into words? Can they even formulate a sentence in some case? Maybe not. But they could fix the fucking hell out of shit. They know what the fuck to do. They're mechanically minded. They're just not grammar minded. Okay. And then all you got to do is talk to, really, literally, all you got to do is talk to any one of your warranty people in your shop. If you work at a dealership, talk to them and ask them about some of the job stories they get. You'll be there for an hour. Like, oh, this guy, all he writes is, oh, fixed car. I think that's only words he knows how to write. Well, it may very well be. I've seen illiterate technicians before, and actually they think that they're fucking geniuses. and they can't fucking read a lick. Who knows why? I don't know why. I don't know why anybody in this particular country would not know how to read. I mean, they'll fucking teach you like first, second, third grade. They'll teach you how to read. Who knows? Maybe you skipped that shit. Maybe you just skipped that shit. I don't know. I was sick that year. I didn't learn how to read. So, but seriously, one of the experiments we did, getting back to what I was talking about, somebody asked me what ASC means, and I told them Automotive Service Excellence. And they said, well, what does that mean? I said, it means that they make tests, and the mechanics take those tests, and if we pass them, then we must know what we're doing. And they said, that doesn't sound real good, does it? I go, no, it doesn't really sound good, especially if you're like a very, very smart person, and you could even be, you know, well, the example that I used to use was you could be a reasonably intelligent 14-year-old girl, study for all of your ASC tests, take them and pass them somehow or another, okay? Because they try to keep this from happening by saying, oh, you have to work in a shop. You have to have, you know, a couple, 200-300 hours of proven work in a shop. You know, can't just be some jackass off the street. God forbid, right? God forbid you haven't been hired yet. Yeah, I've always said that. If you're a reasonably intelligent 14-year-old girl and you study for ASC tests, you could conceivably pass them. Does that make you an ASC master technician? Well, technically, yes, it does. Does it mean you can rebuild a tranny? Probably not. You probably might not even know where it's located in the car, but you passed the test. So how much stock do you put into ASCs? It depends entirely upon you and whether or not you believe in the process and whether or not you believe that you're smarter because you have this. But one of the things that we found, we talked to, I forget who I was talking to, but we had somebody walking through our shop. Like I said, we always have a lot of people walking through our shop. And I stopped somebody walking through our shop one time and I said, hey, have you ever heard of ASC certifications? They go, yeah, I've heard of them. Hey, what does it mean? I don't know. They have no idea. People don't know what ASC even stands for. They don't know what it means if a mechanic is ASC certified. They have no idea. They just know. They just think, well, they just know it's good. They think it's good. And actually, I got to be honest with you. I used to be against it. I used to be really against it because, like I said, I think anybody who's reasonably intelligent could study for them and pass them. And people who should be able to pass them can't. Which is, it's a bad thing, really. They need to figure out a way to include people who don't like tests and aren't good at them, because some of them are excellent mechanics and some of them are even extraordinary. But put a written test in front of them and they throw up blood right there on the table. But here's the other side of the fence. There's nothing else out there. There's no other certification body out there. There's no other group of people who've gotten together and made up some kind of a certification process that you and I can use to illustrate and indicate to people that we know what the fuck we're doing. There's nothing else out there. I think that the time is ripe for competition for ASC, and maybe they need to figure out some way to do something different so that we can include more of the people who absolutely just cannot take these tests, or perhaps come up with a whole new regimen for determining how good somebody is at being an auto mechanic or a technician. Certifications don't mean what the industry has led you to believe. Well, the industry hasn't really led you to believe anything, really. They just tell you, say, hey, ASC certified technicians are probably pretty good at what they do. I would agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that. To take the ASC test and pass them, you have to know a few things. Otherwise, you'll fail those tests. And if it's required by your employer, it's required by the brand of automobiles that you work for, then in order for you to get ahead and to get more money and to earn more money and possibly get, you know, raises and whatever else, you're going to need to get those things done. Do I believe in ASC tests? I really don't. But they do have some value. I can't completely trash them, okay? And they're trying to help the consumer And I'm all for helping the consumer, especially when they have to deal with our bosses and our and the businesses that we work for. They need all the ammo they can get. And reading up on some of the extended warranties plans out there, and some are good and some are bad. We determined that already. Some of them require a shop to be ASC certified, which means they have ASC certified technicians in them. And they're going to want you as a customer to take your car to a shop that's ASC certified with ASC certified technicians. I don't really know how they can enforce that. I mean, honestly, if they came into my shop right now and they say, oh, we need an ASC certified mechanic to work on, it'd be hard pressed. There's not that many of us who have them all. There's more now than there's definitely more now than there was even 2 years ago. But not everybody is interested in taking them. Not everybody is interested in passing them and having and being certified. They just want to work, fix the cars, and get paid. They don't care about ASC or any other acronym for that matter. Okay, so yeah, certifications don't mean what the industry has led you to believe. That is nobody's fault except those people who are promoting that. Okay, number two. Sorry, spent a long time on that. I got definite opinions on that. I don't know if they jive with yours. I mean, I'm thinking that if you're an ASC Master Certified Technician, you're going to be like, yeah, you know, everybody should be, and the shop should be, and customers should bring their car to me. Unless, of course, some fucking repair I don't want to make. Hey, we all have those. We all have repairs we don't want to make. I'm always saying, because I get myself into a fucking boondoggle sometimes. And I always say the same thing. I'm like, well, this isn't the worst repair I've ever done, but it's on the fucking list. And I've come with quite a few of those lately. So maybe I need to get better at what I do, or maybe I just need to stop doing what I do. Number two, the number two thing here that is something that your mechanic doesn't want you to know. Not all causes of the check engine light need to be repaired. Well, if you're a mechanic, you know that it is true. Okay. There is not, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of things that cause a check engine light that have no effect on the performance of the engine whatsoever. It's almost wrong to call it a check engine light. It should probably be called check emissions light, because if you're a mechanic and you don't know this, and you're going to learn this right now, is the check engine light only comes on when your vehicle makes too much pollution. End of sentence. It does not come on for any other fucking reason. Now, if you have a misfire in your engine, yes, you're going to make increased emissions. You're going to get a check engine light every fucking time. Anything that goes on in your vehicle that causes that vehicle to create excess emissions of harmful gases, be it nitrides of oxygen, I'm not even really saying that right, but nitrides of oxygen or carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide or even sulfuric dioxide. There's a thousand different chemicals that can come out of your car. And typically, gasoline vapors is one of them as well. Typically, your vehicle somehow neutralizes these particular chemicals so that they do not go into our atmosphere and poison the air that you and I and our children and our dog is trying to breathe. That's it. And if something fails that causes that vehicle to make any one of those noxious, poisonous gases come out of the tailpipe, you are going to get a check engine light. End of sentence. Does it matter if your vehicle is leaking gasoline vapors to you? Probably not, but your check engine light's going to come on. Does that bother you? Maybe not. I've seen people drive around with check engine lights on forever. I have a car that I drive occasionally, and the check engine light's been on probably now for about 14 years straight. And I only need for it to go off for a few hours every year when I'm going to try to get the fucking thing inspected. I'll go in and I will reset the adaptions. And I will drive it to reset all the monitors after I cleared the check engine light. And once I got all the monitors set, I'll pull it into the shop. I'll hook it up. I'll scan it. It'll pass emissions. It passes safety. I get a sticker. I'm driving home. The check engine light comes right the fuck back on. And I don't give a fuck for 364 fucking days. I don't care. All it is a bad catalytic converter. I might be putting some carbon monoxide out of it. I don't know. I tried to, honestly, boys and girls, I tried to change the fucking PostCat O2 sensor. I heated that thing up cherry red. It was beautiful. It was so hot, and I could not get the fucking thing out. And here's what's weird about it, is that it started working after I did that, but it's definitely bad, and it's causing me problems. I'm probably going to have to bite the bullet and get a set of catalytic converters and all four O2 sensors for that car if I'm going to continue to drive it. The problem is I don't drive it very much. Would definitely not be worth it right at this particular point in time. All right. Anyway, yeah, you and I all know a check engine light doesn't absolutely have to be repaired. One of my favorite concerns that our service advisors like to write on an RO is check engine light is on, but not noticing any drop off in performance, or vehicle still runs just fine. And they're right. It does. You know, and a lot of time with the cars that we have, what we have are radiator flaps that are supposed to control how cool the vehicle gets or doesn't get. And these things fail all the fucking time. And they set a check engine light. And they get damaged, too, quite a bit. So if you get one, you pull it in. The advisor will tell you, oh, I think it's the radiator flaps. Oh, thanks a lot, jackass. And then you scan it, and it is the radiator flaps. It always makes me go, fuck, I hate when they're right. but then you go in and you look at it, you see that there's stones and sticks and dead birds all jammed in it. You know that it's not warranty. So you get to gouge them out for a little bit more than you would if you were going to do it under warranty. But those are some of the things. I mean, and you could conceivably drive around with radiator flaps that don't work. Not really going to hurt anything. So your vehicle runs a little cooler than it's supposed to. Yay. Really? Yay, you know? So, yeah, it's true. Not all causes of the check engine light need to be repaired. And I've seen, and here's the other side of that coin, boys and girls. Some people see a check engine light, doesn't fucking phase them one fucking bit. Does not phase them a bit. They see a check engine light, they just go, oh, well, keep going. They keep going. They don't give a fuck. They just don't give a fuck. And all it is about the pollution. Let's get to number one and get this podcast over with for you, okay? So you can get back to work and quit listening to this fucking asshole. Number one, this is, obviously a studio audience was surveyed, the number one answer. The number one thing that your mechanic doesn't want you to know, it says here, mechanics want you to believe you need to bring your vehicle to them for every repair. Well, we don't need for you to believe that. We would like it if you brought it to us for every repair. We certainly, we've done all your maintenance and we've done all your repairs up to a point, and now you want to go somewhere else. I get it. The labor rate at our shop as a dealership is a lot higher than some of these other shops that are independent, and, they have possibly substandard technicians working there, possibly substandard working conditions, possibly they use substandard parts outlets. But can you get your car successfully fixed there? Yeah, probably. You probably can. Well, are you going to save money? Yeah, you probably are. So would we like for you to bring it back to us? Yeah, we honestly, as somebody who works at a dealer, we would like it if you come to us for lots of reasons. Number one, you're going to get OEM parts. Number two, I am OEM trained to look at your car, to work on it, and to recognize what the fuck it's doing and what it needs to be repaired. And number three, we're going to maintain a history of what you've done to the vehicle. We also do offer a 2-year parts warranty if you get parts from us. Do a lot of places do that? Yeah, maybe. I can't sit here and say to you that all independent repair shops have no warranty. That wouldn't be true. It wouldn't be right either. It's just not. And some independent repair shops in some cities, in some places in the world, do better work than some of the dealers in their area, some of the dealers in their neighborhood or in their cities. Some independent repair shops do much better work than a dealer. I'll give you a little why. A lot of times a dealership is run by someone who doesn't give a flying fuck about anything except money. That's the only reason they're in business. That's the only reason they own a dealership. It's the only reason they run a dealership. It's the only reason they have people working there is that they want to make money. Okay. Do they care about anything else? Really? No. Are they concerned with the quality of the repairs? Maybe. Are they concerned with the quality of the technicians? Maybe. Are they concerned with the quality of the parts? They should be. Okay. They should be concerned about the quality of all those things. But then what they do is they load themselves up with employees who in some cases are substandard, or maybe not, you know, just to kind of veer off from that, maybe they're just not equipped to repair something that they're going to try to get them to repair. Okay. They're going to make an attempt to repair something that's over their head or out of their league, whichever way you want to say it. Okay. And the reason that that someone in a dealership situation might do that is strictly because they are going to make more money. If a $25 an hour guy works on a car for 3 hours and a $50 an hour guy works on a car for 3 hours, they make less money when the higher paid guy works on it. It's as simple as it is. And so these greedy cocksuckers are going to try to load the shop up with $25 an hour guys. That's what they're going to do. And the $50 an hour guy is going to be looking around going, what do you want me to do? There's you've left me nothing to work on. Yeah, well, you're too expensive. So what ends up happening is that guy either starts his own shop or he goes and works for his buddy who started his own shop, and they give the fucking middle finger to the dealer, and the dealer gets to add a whole nother fucking $25 an hour guy. You know, you have to kind of be careful where you're taking your car to. Say, hey, who's going to be working on my car? I don't know. This kid over here, we don't even know his name yet. We just hired him this morning. It's like, what? Where's the value in that? I don't see it. So, yeah, should you bring your car to the same place? Well, I think that would be a good thing for you as a customer, because if you develop a relationship with a shop or with somebody at a shop, they can certainly have a modicum of understanding and care about what goes on with your vehicle. You know, if you're there, you know, every 3 months on the dot, you get all of your service work done there. You get all of your maintenance work done there. You have any repair you're going to have done there. And you come in and you have a problem. They're going to be like, oh, holy shit. Here's one of our good customers. We need to look after that person because they have been a good customer over the years. They don't give us a hard time. They pay their bill. They do all their maintenance. We're going to help them out. We're going to help them out. And that's one of the reasons why you should bring your car not to a specific shop, but to the specific shop that you've been going to. If they do quality work and they look after you and you have an excellent relationship with them, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Don't trade that for anything. You might save a dollar. You might save $5 or even $100 down the road at some other fucking joint. Don't do it. Okay, they have invested time and energy into keeping your car going, and you've invested time and energy in having them keep your car going, and you have a relationship, and if it's working and everything's good, don't fuck that up. Go somewhere else. Don't fuck it up. You're going to be disappointed. If you find a place that does a good job, I don't give a shit whether it's an indie shop or a dealership shop or even a mobile mechanic or even a guy down the street who has some fucking tools and some spare time, and they do a good job, you're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game. Okay. So, mechanics, do we care? I don't honestly care if you bring your car to me. I mean, I look at cars all day long. I can tell that they either didn't buy them from us or they did buy them from us. And I can tell that they either do or don't get them serviced by us. All I've got to do is look at the fucking oil drain plug. Some of these fucking clowns that work at these, if you're one of these people, you're a clown. But if you work at one of these quick change, oil change places, and you put crayon or whatever the fuck it is you're putting, whatever it is you're putting on the fucking drain plug, just knock that shit off. What are you going to do? I have to scrape that shit off sometimes so I can get the drain plug out. I'm not going to put more crayon on it. I'm not about that. And stop fucking over-tightening the fucking things, you ding-dongs. 25 newton meters is probably about as tight as they're supposed to be. So there's a day in the life of a mechanic. Some of the things that go on with us, some of the things that we have to watch out for, some of the things that we have to try to do, some of the things we have to try to stop doing. there's a lot of things that go into doing what we do. I got to say this out loud. I think that we're all grossly underpaid. The people who we work for are are all about the money and they're all about keeping it. And I don't want to ever, I don't know how you feel about this. I don't really want to ever hear about how much their expenses are. Fuck them. You have paid us so little that you have trouble getting people to do the job. And then in order to find people to do the job, you have to take a chance on a lot of people, a whole fucking pallet full of people. You buy them by the gross. You get a baker's dozen of them. You bring them in. You have no idea if they're going to work out or not. The odds are that half of them will, half of them won't. I mean, it's just straight up 50-50 shot. And if they don't work out, they wreck things or they break things or they ruin things. It's like, I'm not going to feel sorry for you at all. You could have had me do it. I have, you know, I say it all the time, training, skill, experience, knowledge, whatever. Am I going to fuck it up? No. Am I going to go as slow as they do? No. But you're going to make more money if they do it. And if every once in a while they cost you money, well, that's what you get. That's what you get. All right. All right. And you know what? A day in the life of your Uncle Jimmy typically ends with him saying something along the lines of, see ya.